at cmfcuro.com. That is cmfcuro.com.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Dr. Ray Guarendi with a special edition of The Doctor Is In. We are honoring the life, the memory of Mother Angelica, foundress of EWTN, and the human guiding force behind the incomprehensible reach of the network and all of its apostolates. Delighted to have you with me. We will take some questions today, not our standard format, where we receive questions about the stuff of life. This week, the programs are going to be aimed at remembering, honoring, talking about, and laughing with the memory of Mother Angelica. Today, I'm going to have a very special guest, a man who essentially saw his life screech to a halt. It was heading in a burning direction, how shall we say? I think he'd be the first to tell you that. Heading in a direction of some pretty heavy heat. Not only in this existence, but in the one to come. He ran across, by accident, this little diminutive nun. Perhaps diminutive in stature, not so much in voice, persuasion, and presence. From then, he didn't turn his big ship around like takes 12 miles in an ocean. As he said to me, he screeched to a stop on a dime. Went in the other direction. Powerful, powerful story. I first heard it on Crest Alive, and since then I've come across it a number of times. He's become a great spokesman for the church's teaching in an area of morality that many, many now vocally disagree with the church, Catholics and otherwise. His name is Paul Darrow. We're going to have him on the program today. I will introduce him in a few minutes. Some years ago, I was out of the Catholic Church. I was a new atheist. I wasn't like the old atheist. The old atheist had a certain logical consistency. There is no God, therefore I can do what I want. The new atheist is a much more treacherous bunch, much more slippery, much more weaselly. There is a God, but he thinks just like me. So I ventured out of the Catholic Church, and I was in a little bit of self-defined Christianity. I recall once being part of a trio of speakers at a religious convention, predominantly evangelical focus. First guy got up, told what a wretched existence he had. Oh, man, he couldn't get into enough ugly, nitty-gritty details. And then God reached down into his chasm of immorality and pulled him up. And he was speaking to the power of God, power of Christ. Next guy got up, basically said, same theme, different details. But he was a wretch in every way, ignoring God, more than ignoring God, going counter to God. And God then, too, reached down, grabbed him out of the muck, pulled him up, cleaned him off, made him a Christian. Then it was my turn. I felt like a misfit. I got up there and said, I don't know really what to say here. I feel like I don't belong here. I had two parents who loved me, raised me in the Catholic faith, always sort of had a connection to God, always believed Christ was God. I'm so sorry. What's my point? As a psychologist, I have often said that I have never seen anything change a life with the power that a Christian conversion can do. I've not seen it in therapy. Therapy is almost always, when it is successful, and sadly it's not always that successful, a longer process. Changing a personality, changing a moral direction of somebody's life oftentimes takes years. Sometimes it takes a life. Only a Christian conversion, only grabbing on to Christ, then getting pulled out of the muck, the mire. How does this happen? Most of the time, I would think it happens because of another person. There is someone that you come across in your life that looks like they've got something. What is it? They talk about it unabashedly. And at first, your response to them is, what's with these people? Oh, no, not another religious holy roller. Oh, please. I've seen enough of these media types. Oh, man. And this one looked kind of like a caricature, you know? What's with the patch? What's with the eye patch? I mean, I've seen nuns before. I've never seen a nun with an eye patch. What is this all about? So at the same time, there was a kind of mocking, I don't want to say maybe revulsion, there was an attraction. Something about this woman pulled on a person, our guest, Paul Darrow, who at the time was not in the midst of some kind of religious crisis. He wasn't thinking, oh, I've made a mess of my life. It's awful. It's terrible. I've got to look around and find truth. I've got to find something that's a better way to live. I just, anything. Throw me any rope. Oh, okay, there's a nun. I'll grab onto her rope. I don't think that's where Paul was. He may have realized the emptiness of the direction he was going in, but he didn't see that he necessarily needed to look for something else, especially something else 180 degrees the other way. Who was this eye-patched little nun on a religious channel, no less, talking pretty straight, but yet very powerfully? This has to be something that Paul not really been exposed to much in the way that he lived his life anyway. Come on, these people were not part of his circle. I'm going to Paul here in about a minute. I want to give all you folks with the young kids a chance to figure out what to do with them. You go into the bathroom when you want to hide from them. Maybe you could send them into the bathroom. Because our topic, perhaps our language a little bit, is going to be sensitive. And the young ears might have some questions you just don't want to deal with yet. They're too young for that. Maybe the kids under 10 and 12. On the other hand, Paul is going to point to the woman who God used to wrench his life in a different direction. And so if you've got some teenagers who are either attracted to the youth culture celebration of sexual morality and everything is cool, everything is okay, and certain types of attractions are not only okay, but they're to be celebrated, and they are cool. They're the new chic. Well, Paul lived the life of the new chic. He certainly did. Until he ran up against this woman with a habit. Yeah, she had a habit, all right. A habit of speaking the truth. She also had an eye patch. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray. The Paul is in.
I appreciate it. Now, give us some backdrop. First of all, I saw pictures of you when you used your modeling picture, your male modeling pictures. Paul, I got to tell you, you were one good-looking dude, okay? You were flat-out male model stunning. So I would imagine you could use all of that to your advantage in the lifestyle that you were heading in. Give us some backdrop on that.
Well, it was exactly that. I never thought of myself as even average or above average. And when I got out into the real world, when I was still in high school, actually, and I noticed how men especially were attracted to me and would compliment me, I finally found a tool that I felt, the tool in which I could use to be loved, because I never really felt love as a child. I never knew love, not the sort of love that I was looking for. So I found a way through my physical being, through my physical appearance, to have people wanting to be with me and wanting to be affectionate with me. And so I fell into that. I was blinded by it, and it became my whole center, how I looked, everything I did, getting the right suntan, wearing the right clothes, having my hair the right way, became the most important thing in the world to me, so that I could attract men. And it was the men who started to come up to me, and as a child, I was seduced by men before I was 10 years old. I guess the word is molested these days. And so that was my lifestyle. My whole reason for being was to find a perfect man to love me.
There was no God. Speaking of perfect man, Paul, there was no God among those men.
I surely didn't see any God among those men. I was a Catholic boy. I was confirmed. And then around 12, 13 years old, when I started to go through puberty, or 14 years old, my God was man. Men was my God. And I wasn't the only one. I learned from others who lived the same lifestyle. And as I tell people and when I speak to them, that we hated the Catholic Church and wanted it destroyed because it stood between us and what we most loved. Sex had become our God.
You were baptized. You were confirmed. You look back on that. Was that just a big mistake? Somebody threw something upon you before you even had the chance to refuse it, so you kind of got pulled into this Catholic thing, but what a mockery, what a joke.
Well, from where I'm standing right now, It was not a mistake, and maybe it was the reason that I have been able to open my eyes in the way that I did. I had a Polish grandmother. I was adopted. I didn't realize until I was 30 years old. So I thought I was a Polish and Italian, and my Polish grandmother was the one true Catholic in my family. The rest were cafeteria Catholics. It's what they wore to church that was important. But my grandmother, my Polish grandmother, who came from Poland and hardly spoke English, she insisted that I be brought to church and that I be taught my catechism as a child.
So that's the first grandmotherly type in your life that, that pulled you. By the way, I did not know that you were not Italian. No offense, Paul, but this interview's over, buddy. Thanks. Thanks for coming in. You led me to believe you had some
Italian. Well, I love Italian food, and I love Polish food.
All right.
And as a child from 1 to 30, which from 1 to 30, I didn't know I was adopted. So I am, I feel Italian, I feel Polish.
We'll count it. How old were you? Okay, tell me. Now, I remember hearing your story in various venues. To say you lived life in the fast lane would be an understatement, would it not?
A big understatement. I was old enough or young enough or whatever it was to have heard about James Dean and saw some of his movies as I got older. And it was live fast, die young. So the faster I could go, finding what I wanted, the pleasures in life, the most pleasurable desires, actually the things that could most easily please my desires were the things that were the most important. So as I've said in presentations, it was sex, drugs, and disco. A little
You're showing your age here. You're showing your age here, buddy.
Oh, I don't mind doing that. You know, Mother Angelica, I heard her one day, and she said something, you know, I want to live to be old. And that's when I did not want to live to be old. And I want to live to be old. I just want to live to be old, even if I can't do anything but pray. And now I have that same idea, that same desire. So I don't mind being old because, or older, because, of course, I'm wiser.
Were you at the peak of your absolutely profligate lifestyle when somehow, and you got to bring us into the details on this, give us the vision of how you stumbled on to this nun that you probably were completely unaware of prior to that moment, right?
Well, I stumbled, yes. Yes, Dr. Wright. I stumbled on that woman. She caught my attention in the way that everybody caught my attention, their physical makeup. So if they weren't absolutely beautiful and attractive to me, they were the opposite. And was she ever the opposite the moment I saw her? I came home from a hard night out at the bars and other places that I shouldn't have been going to or that I'm not proud that I was going to at the time. Let's say it was a rough night. And what you do is just stay up all night because what happened in the evening keeps you awake in the morning. And so I was sitting on my bed, channel surfing, and I came across this image on the television screen that just amazed me. And I started to laugh. And I laughed. I was literally mocking, ridiculing a stroke victim. But I didn't think of it that way. I thought of it as an old nun with a distorted face tucked into an old-fashioned, full-length nun's habit and with a patch over one eye. And I called my friend, my lover, into my bedroom. I said, "You got to see this, Jeff. You got to see this. Oh, my gosh. What? Well, you got to come in here and see this." He came in. And we laughed mockingly at this person because that eye patch, I said, "Oh, my gosh, she looks like those old-fashioned nuns that I heard were so mean when I was a kid." I never went to a Catholic school, but I heard they were mean. And she looked like she could be mean. And I said, "You know, she looks like a pirate of Penzance." And then just kept mocking her. He left the room. And as I went to change the channel, as I tell people, I had my hand on the channel and she, or the automatic, the controls, and she said something so profound and so moving that it literally jolted me. And then after that, Dr. Ray, I would come across her. I never saw her before in my life. I never heard of EWTN. I never saw a priest or a nun on television on that channel. But suddenly, every time I was channel surfing, or almost every time, many times when I was channel surfing, I would come across her. And each time, it was like magic. She would draw me in. And And I would hear her and then change the channel. But eventually, I realized that every single word that I heard her say, every single word I agreed with, which is pretty odd considering my lifestyle at the time and my mindset.
How could you agree with her? You were as far removed from that kind of thinking as you could possibly be.
I was actually more than that. Not only was I not only was my mindset different from hers, I tell people, the lifestyle that I led, when you keep going from one step to the other, first you fall in love, you think you're going to find your Prince Charming, very collegiate, whatever, and then the next step is, oh my gosh, look at that masculine man, and then look at that person in leather. What's that all about? Oh my gosh. And then the next thing is darker and deeper and darker and deeper. And I tell people, I literally was skating on the rim of evil. And then to see this nun. And of course, drugs, liquor, abuse, self-abuse, brings you to that mindset. And so yes, it was like darkness and light.
You got to stay right there, Paul. Don't go anywhere, okay?
I won't.
I got to hear, for my own edification, I got to hear more about how Mother touched you and how God used her. And you stay right there. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Ray, my guest, my very special guest, Paul Darrow, who is now working for the church because of a nun with an eye patch years ago.
Memories of Mother Angelica. Here are Jason and Kristalina Ebert.
I think Mother Angelica's greatest contribution to the church, for as great as EWTN, I don't think her greatest contribution is the network. I think her greatest contribution to the church is her sanctity. Because what the church ultimately needs more than television stations are saints. And I think in her we have that. Mother Teresa was asked, how do you become a saint? And she said, say yes to Jesus. And so when I look at the life of Mother Angelica, I see this continual yes at each stage in her life to Christ. And for me, that speaks so much more loudly than all of the beautiful things that Christ has been able to accomplish through her. I think precisely because of her yes, the church has been so blessed to be able to reach the four corners of the earth with EWTN. And people who may never have heard the gospel otherwise are being able to hear it because of the yes she said to Christ.
There's a quote from Pope John Paul II, and he says that prayer and sacrifice constitute the most powerful force in human history. And I think Mother Angelica has been such a role model with just taking that leap of faith, and she's given other Catholics the courage to do the same.
Angelica, a remarkable life. In the year 1943, young Rita Rizzo, Mother Angelica, was suffering from such terrible stomach maladies, she braved a blizzard to come here, to the home of Rhoda Wise. Now, Miss Wise was a local mystic in Canton, Ohio, and a purported healer. She greeted Rita at the door, brought her into her bedroom, and sat her in this chair. Now, Miss Wise contended our Lord sat in this chair mystically when they visited from time to time. She didn't touch Rita. She didn't pray over her. She just handed her novena to St. Therese of the Child Jesus and told her to pray that prayer. 9 days later, young Rita's stomach symptoms vanished, and thus began a lifelong love affair with God and untold works. Stay with EWTN as we celebrate the life and legacy of Mother Angelica.
But if those who were invited proved unworthy, go to the crossroads in the town and invite everybody you can find. Isn't that wonderful? That's the rest of us. You bunch of sinners out there.
I love her style. This is Dr. A. Grandy, very special edition of The Doctor Is In. My special guest, Paul Darrow, he lived a life as far away from Christianity, from Christian morality, from EWTN and Mother Angelica, as you could imagine. He was rocketing. Paul says he kind of was right on the edge of evil. By that, I think he meant hell. Rocketing in a libertine sexual existence. Anything goes. One day, one night, after a particularly raucous evening, sitting on his bed, channel surfing, although at the time to Paul, I'm sure it seemed random, probably wasn't a whole lot of randomness to it, but he didn't know that, came across a nun who had had a stroke, was wearing a black eye patch. She was saying some things. Now, she basically devastated Paul's cliche of the ruler-wielding, smacky-upside-the-knuckles nun. At first, he mocked her. First, he made fun of her. He called in his partner. He said, check this out. You believe this? This is the kind of stuff they're putting on TV, huh? Paul is with me. I'm delighted to call him a friend. Haven't met much, but I just feel a connection with him. And he's talking about how this caricature, he called her a pirate nun, grabbed him from the very chasm looking down into this black abyss. Sorry, I'm getting a little too literary here. I want to give out the number, because I'm sure many of you would have questions of Paul and exactly how it was that Mother influenced this radical shift in his life. So the number is 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number. And again, the caution, if you have young children, the topic, as is oftentimes the case when you have to deal with a life that's been transformed by Christ, is oftentimes the case the topic before Christ can be pretty ugly. The language can be pretty suggestive. Paul, thanks for staying with me.
My pleasure.
Okay. Right now, okay, as a shrink, here's my question. Why did you keep going back to this woman? What was it about her demeanor, about her words, that touched a guy like you?
Well, in hindsight, I know it was something much bigger than Mother Angelica, or definitely me. But before we get to that, I think from a human point of view, from a worldly point of view, I was embarrassed to be watching an elderly nun. But as I say, nun or no nun, I felt, remember I was an atheist, but I felt somehow that she knew and spoke the truth about God and about her church. And I always had thought that spiritual truth was just somebody's vague, undefinable theory, and that's why I'm a doubting Thomas. I can't believe anything, couldn't believe anything. Excuse me, things have changed, but I couldn't believe anything unless I saw it. But somehow there was some evidence in her, something about her. And of all packages that it could have been presented to me, it wasn't presented to me by the best-looking nun in the cloister, I'm sure.
This wasn't our mother that used to star with Elvis.
Exactly. It wasn't her. Of course, now she is, for me, she is more beautiful than any nun. I shouldn't say any nun. I should say any model that I ever knew. Any female model, woman model that I ever knew. She's so beautiful. But getting back to your question, like I said, I thought spiritual truth didn't exist. It was a joke. It was something that Catholic therapists might speak about, but more likely priests and nuns would speak about. And I was embarrassed to be watching her. But she just drew me in. And again, the idea that a woman like that, I was shocked by the fact that everything she said made sense. And I would hide the fact. I've said it in the film, I've said it in presentations, that I would change the channel because I was wise, I was streetwise, and I knew that if you left a channel, a pornographic channel on television, and your mom came or your aunt or your cousin and turned it on, they'd see what you were watching. And so I would switch the channel so that if somebody turned it on, they'd never get on my case for watching a Catholic nun.
Pornography was okay, but this has gone a little too far, huh?
Exactly. In the world, pornography is more okay than watching a Catholic nun and believing what a Catholic nun is saying, sadly.
Why'd you keep going back? Somebody would say, a secular person, somebody who didn't believe in God, God's hand's not involved in this, would say, well, obviously Paul had some holes in his makeup that he wasn't aware of, and he had a neediness that just kind of pulled on him, and that's what it was. What would you say to that?
Well, that's what they say to me. That's what all of my friends who I was able to, little by little, some friends, I shouldn't say all of my friends, but some friends whom I dared tell the story to, it was like, well, I'm happy for you. I'm glad it works for you. And to me, those now are the most patronizing words in the world. I'm glad that you feel good about that. But Dr. Ray, I was the happiest person I knew. My genetics, I don't know what it is. I'm always happy. I was always happy, or at least on the surface, at least I felt I was. And I would think, oh my gosh, how did I get to be with an ambassador to Great Britain, an NFL All-Pro Super Bowl player, the commander of a nuclear submarine, a famous real-life prince who was on the cover of many famous magazines that we all know? How did little old me get to be with those people? I was happy. I wasn't looking or searching at all. The only thing I was searching for was love, like most of the men that I knew who were living that lifestyle. And I can't speak for the women, but I know a lot of women who were in the same boat as I was. And it doesn't just have to be about homosexuality. That is for sure. The movie Desire of the Everlasting Hills that I was fortunate enough to be a subject in, it isn't about homosexuality. It is about having your eyes open to the truth of the Lord and about how far we are from the Lord when we are self-indulgent. And that the joy that I thought I had, as I would say, when I was at the finest, going to Studio 54 at the finest penthouse parties with the most famous, beautiful people in the world, that was euphoria to me. But as I say, that pales, that absolutely pales compared to the euphoria I have just seeing a picture of Mother Angelica. It's just amazing. Unbelievable, but amazing.
Did you get to a point where you stopped sneaking looking at Mother and attempting to get more and more of what she had to say? You didn't care anymore. It was, now I want to hear it, and I'm not going to hide.
I started to get to that point slowly. I used to sneak up to the Catholic Church. I lived in a small town where you could be doing the hardest drugs in the world. You could be making your own drugs in a trailer somewhere, and you would be more appreciated than somebody who was a Catholic. So I was always very professional. No one ever knew about my self-indulgent lifestyle. I pulled it off really well. And yet I never had to sneak around because I was just able to do things. They came easily to me, but I had to sneak up to the Catholic Church, and I lost clients. I was in real estate, and I lost clients simply because I was Catholic, let alone because I was living the homosexual lifestyle and realize that, according to Mother Angelica, and according to everything I read and understood and felt from within, I needed to try to find chastity in my life. And that was the opposite of being the sex addict that I was at the time.
Paul, Deborah from Denver, Colorado, has got a question for you. Deborah, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Thank you. What is your question for Paul?
Hi, Paul. I heard your story yesterday. I think you were speaking with Al Cresta, and it really rang true for me as well. So I live in the straight world, but I still had a lot of the same issues. I spent my formidable 20s in L.A., and it was always a big party scene, and I loved those boys. And but I think what really resonated was, like what you just said, that you lost clients because you were Catholic. And it's been interesting because I've been single for a long time, and a lot of men who I've met, I've gone on first dates with, are not interested and do not want to spend any time or get to know me because I have made a choice to be chaste. And I made this choice a long time ago. And so there are a lot of people I know who want to make that choice but won't because they're afraid they'll be alone. And so I get the struggles that you've had. And part of what's been beautiful for me is that God has filled that alone for me. And I've just gotten to know Him better. And the more and more time, which for me is years, that goes by where I'm living a chaste lifestyle, the more I really appreciate what sexual love is supposed to be. And so I guess as far as having a question, my question for you is, when people say to you, how can you live like that? I'm interested in what your response is.
Well, first of all, God bless you for being on the right path, that's for sure. And exactly like your situation, even when I was with the most incredible partner, I was always looking for something more, for a partner who could be more to me, because the love was never complete. And once Mother Angelica and Lord, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes, and I began to know what real love is. I never knew real love. I tell people, because my parents were abusive, I never had love at home. I never had real love in the alternative lifestyle that I lived. A few people really loved me, but because they really loved me, probably they couldn't give me enough because I needed something that was unattainable, and I wasn't able to attain. So I never knew what it was like to really love somebody. I never really loved somebody since I was maybe 5 years old when I loved my mother. I learned how to love by finding chastity, to love others. And that fills my heart so much that I will never feel lonely again. I never feel lonely. I used to feel some loneliness when I was between partners and the sexual activities would fill up that loneliness so that I didn't even notice it. But getting to your situation and our situation, a priest who is a professor at the Catholic University was explaining once about how he married, I think, at least, I don't know, 500 couples, and about people not being able to see evidence of the Lord. And he said, you know, there is evidence. It's all over. And he said, when I marry a couple, every once in a while, I will see such a purity in those people, in that couple, that I just know that that is God shining through them. And he said, every time that I've seen that purity, those couples never divorced. And so it's Deborah, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So, Deborah, the purity in you, and hopefully the purity in me, will be recognized by those that should be with us in an intimate way one day. For me, it probably won't happen ever again because I do have same-sex attraction. But for you, please don't be discouraged, because those men who do not want to be with you because of your beautiful state of mind, your spiritual state, you shouldn't be with them. And as I tell my heterosexual friends, I have a lot of male friends who say, oh, my gosh, women, I don't know, you know, I got divorced, this and that. And I said, the next time, just try to find, and I'm Catholic, so I'm going to have to say this, but try to find a Catholic woman. I just told somebody this recently who's been divorced twice. I said, if you can find a truly pure, chaste woman who wants to be chaste and has purity in her, then that will be the perfect woman for you. And he said, you know, Paul, I think you're right. As you say that, I feel that's what I need to look for. So yes, there's beauty and happiness living this life.
This is Dr. A. Guarendi. The doctor is in. My guest, Paul Darrow. Thanks, Deborah. We'll be right back.
From the complete audiobook on her life, here's another excerpt from Mother Angelica, The Remarkable Story of a Nun, Her Nerve, and a Network of Miracles by Raymond Arroyo.
In the grated parlor of her cloister, for the better part of 3 years, I pursued the real Mother Angelica. From 1999 to the end of 2001, the woman Time magazine called the superstar of religious broadcasting, and easily one of the most powerful and influential people in the Roman Catholic Church, met me for a weekly date of sorts to resurrect the past and appraise her life. These visits were brave exercises for Mother Angelica. It is one thing to permit a neophyte to rifle through your history. He's disadvantaged from the outset and knows only what the printed record affords. But I had known Mother personally and as an employee for 5 years when I began interviewing her. I had been near her in good times and bad, in public and in private. For 2 years, I occasionally co-hosted her popular Mother Angelica Live TV program and served as news director for the network she had founded. In some ways, she was like a grandmother to me, a grandmother with whom I shared an uncommon ease and kinship. Our mutual Italian heritage probably helped. We could converse about any issue and did not avoid the occasional ribbing. Despite differences and disagreements, we remained close. My peculiar vantage point allowed me to see Mother Angelica as she truly was, a simple, deeply spiritual woman struggling to do God's will and to overcome her personal failings. I slowly began to recognize the other Mother Angelica, encased within the cherubic face beyond the metal bars, Rita Rizzo, the sickly girl who with only a high school diploma had fought her way out of poverty and single-handedly created the Eternal Word television network.
From the complete audiobook on her life, Mother Angelica by Raymond Arroyo. Available at EWTNRC.com.
From the archives, this
is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
It's like the bride, you know, 10 were very, very fervent, and they had oil in their lamp, and they had oil, extra oil. Here were 10 that didn't, they had oil in their lamps, but no extra oil. Now the bridegroom is coming, and those who had just the oil in their lamp all went out. And they said, give me some of your oil. And they said, hey, we can't, lest we too run out. The first thought in your mind is, they're uncharitable. Why didn't they share? I know what you're thinking. I thought the same thing. But see, when we die, my friends, when the bridegroom calls you and me, there's no more time to get oil. You've had 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. You got to repent. You got to go ahead of time and put oil in that lamp.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
You're really not supposed to be comfortable when you come here, you see. You're supposed to be somewhat miserable. Because if I don't make you miserable, the Lord will. And that's why you come, because you got to know yourself, but you also have to know how much she loves you. That's what's so important.
Dr. A. Guarendi here. I'm a psychologist, a shrink. I wish that all the tools of therapy had the power of a Christian conversion. Only a Christian conversion can really, radically, and quickly change a life. My guest, Paul Darrow, was living life, as he describes it, pretty much as dark as you could live it. And, sadly, he had everything going for him. Tremendously good-looking guy. Hobnobbed with the world's elite. Yeah, they all wanted a piece of him. Stumbled across this little nun with an eye patch. He wasn't ashamed of the eye patch. His first reaction was, what is this? I'm an atheist. What's this woman going to tell me? Something about her kept drawing him back. Initially hit it. Figured, oh man, I gotta keep this from my partner. People are going to think I've lost my mind. Actually, he was living a life where he had lost his mind, but he didn't know that. Paul, during the transition from your old life to the new one, did you have to go back and get doses of Mother Angelica, doses of EWTN, because you felt yourself slipping? Did you need take Mother three times a day and twice at night as needed? How did you do it?
I didn't think of it that way, but it was doses, and I would find her when I could, when nobody else was around, and watch her. And I never, like I said, I never heard her say anything that didn't ring true to me. And even when she wasn't speaking, and by the way, I didn't know. I thought she was live when I was listening to her, but she had it was already after her stroke, so these were always pre-recorded. But even when I didn't hear her words, I heard the words from her network. And that is incredible. I call it EWTN University because it's still her. It's all about Mother Angelica today, yesterday, Easter Sunday. It's all about Mother Angelica for me. And everything that has happened in my life, everything that had happened in my life at that point was simply EWTN and what I heard through the network that Mother Angelica created. And I don't know, I never know in these types of shows when the host, which would be you, of course, is going to say, okay, well, that's it. So I don't know if we have a chance, but I did get to meet Mother Angelica, and I found this morning a copy of something that I wrote to her. I got to meet her. I was only supposed to be there for 15 seconds or 20 or 30 seconds, and I got to spend an hour with her. And they handed me a book. The nun who was in the room with me handed me a book and said, please write your story here for Mother Angelica to have in her book. And I said, I cannot write my story here. It would take me too long. So they gave me the book, and I wrote what would be about 90 seconds to read. But if time permits, and if not this time, maybe some other time when we're together, Dr. Ray, I would like to read what I wrote Mother Angelica in honor of her, to what she... because it was me explaining to her what she has done for me.
Paul, you got it there? You got it? You're holding
it? I have it right in front of me. And again, I just found it this morning.
We got time. Go for it.
It was the day after her 92nd birthday. You know, she's almost 93. April 20th, she would be 90. Would have been 93. April 21st, 2015. The time that you gave me today, dear Mother Angelica, was the most precious time in my entire life. However, you have been giving me years of precious moments by being the person who first opened my eyes to the truth of Jesus and of his church. You grabbed my attention with your unique and inimitable persona, but you totally transformed me with your wise, honest, God-filled words. Before I came across you on EWTN, I was one of the many who preferred the darkness. You, however, added a new dimension to my life, one that has brought me into the light. Dear Mother, my life is now about honoring the Lord, and the best way for me to do it is to try to help others as you have helped me. So my mission is to give hope to others by sharing my story of grace and my story of your unbelievable effect on my life. With God's help, we are now on the road together. I can't read my writing. On the road together, reaching many souls through the media. We were both the most unlikely people to be doing these things, but you taught me that nothing is impossible with Jesus. Oh, dear Mother, I could go on and on, but I just wanted to give you a glimpse of how you helped to save me and how much you mean to me. And, of course, how much I love you. I will never stop reminding the world of your message. You are truly my spiritual mother. I love you. I love you. I love you. I know our paths will cross again. I wish you God's peace forever and ever. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And happiest birthday, Mother Angelica. I think that sort of sums it up, Dr. Ray, as far as what you did to me.
Now, Paul, way to go. I'm the host. What am I supposed to say after that? You got me.
You can say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, doggone it, you got me you got me watering up here. And the last time I watered up was when the Browns called a draw play on 3rd and 12 in the playoffs.
Dr. Ray, what are the chances of this? And you know what? Today I looked up. I am fortunate enough to be able to be going to Mother Angelica's funeral. And so just before we went on the show, I had Googled Mother and funeral services for Mother Angelica. Schedule of funeral services for Mother Angelica. And CNA, the Catholic News Agency, had a beautiful layout of the funeral services. And then below, you know, on the Internet, when you look at a story or something, often they have the word tag. And there was tag, and it had one word. And it said, "Mother, how Mother Angelica changed the life of a homosexual man." And of all the things in the world that Mother Angelica has touched millions of people, God has given her so much to give to us. And of all the things that could be on her funeral schedule, Dr. Ray, that my little story is the tag with her funeral services. This is such evidence of the Lord, such evidence of the Lord, that she would die on Easter Sunday and that she had her stroke on a stroke that really set her into that situation on Christmas Eve. Such evidence of the Lord. And I just thank God for so much.
Paul, we got about 2 minutes. First of all, I want to thank you for visiting with me the whole time. I told Andrew right away, quick, please, we got to get Paul to come on to the program. You were so cooperative in that. We'll visit again, I know. Two things. One, Desire of the Everlasting Hills. Folks, if you want to hear Paul's story, and if you have someone in your life that you know could benefit very much from Paul's story, Desire of the Everlasting Hills. Is it .com, Paul, or .org?
So it's just Everlasting Hills, all one word. You can just type in everlastinghills.org.
.org.
And please, if you do watch it, for those, it's 63 minutes, no bathroom breaks, no phone calls, and no texting, because it really builds on itself. Otherwise, it's just going to be like talking heads. But it is about another man and a woman who have had similar experiences in mine from going from the same-sex attraction lifestyle back to God.
Summarize it for me. It's been what? How many years now that you have been chased?
Over 5 years. And when that happened, one day, it was impossible. I was a sex addict. And as you know, that's more difficult to give up than being a heroin addict. And people say, well, you're a little bit older now. No, no, no. It gets worse. Alcoholics, more alcoholism. Sex addicts, more sex. And yet, one day, it was like I just couldn't do it. I tried. I'd be able to stay away from it for a few weeks, maybe a month. And boom. And so one day, before I jumped into bed, I said, please, Jesus, give me a few years of strength and energy so that I can make up for the way I've been living and so that I can bring you many, many souls to save. I had no idea that anyone would ever listen to me. And then I added a little prayer, and I said, Jesus, please help me to be chaste because I know I can't do it without you. And within 3 months, one day I woke up and thought about Father Harvey, Father John Harvey's words, "We always have the chance not to give in to the inclination."
Paul, God bless you. I'm going to hate to cut you off, but the music's going to tell us. Thank you for being with us. God hold you. God keep you. Stay on the air afterwards. I want to talk to you. The Ripple Effect. Mother Angelica. God used it to transform lives, and now Paul and people like him are going out to transform lives.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This Ave Maria program underwritten in part by...
From Pure Flix comes God's Not Dead 2. A classroom answer to an honest question about Jesus could cost Grace Wesley the teaching career she loves.
I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
God's Not Dead 2. In theaters April 1st. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information is available at godsnotdead.com.
Are you looking for a great deal on a new or certified pre-owned vehicle and want to be treated with dignity and respect? Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during Ram Truck Month, you can drive away in a new 2016 Ram truck for as low as $198 per month. Ram sales are up 40%, so come in and see for yourself why everyone is switching over to Ram. Great quality, bold looks, affordable payments, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Charity Mobile is the only pro-life mobile phone corporation. LifeSite News recently featured Corporate Watchdog Second Vote and their research of corporations that fund Planned Parenthood. The article concluded that only 7 corporations are ranked as being pro-life, while 234 corporations have abortion-supporting scores. Charity Mobile is one of the 7 pro-life corporations and the only mobile phone company. 5% of your monthly talk plan price goes to the pro-life charity of your choice, and there are no contracts, no termination fees, and no risk with your 30-day trial. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a free 4G LTE smartphone plus free activation and free shipping. Life is calling. Take it with you. Call 877-474-3662 or go to CharityMobile.com today.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, America's new standard for substance abuse recovery programs. The St. Gregory Recovery Program combines the latest in evidence-based treatment with traditional Catholic teaching on virtue. Mass and reconciliation are also available. More information is available today at 888-249-0008 or stgregoryctr.com.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number...